Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and this is the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. And we're delighted that you've taken some time out of a busy day here on February 3, 2018, to join us for this study. Coincidentally, Rick is sitting directly across from me, still with his barrier mask on, protecting us from any buggies that might be flying around the room because of a sneeze or something. So thank you, Rick. And we also have Dr. Don here and Larry. Suzette is with her husband today on the road, and we hope that they have a safe and happy trip. Excuse me. I will call your attention and have you go, if you are online with us on our Blog Talk Radio website, I'd like you to go to our chat room, and there you can find the four major ways of getting in contact with us. First one is our original official website at spiritoftruthministry.net. The second is our original, where you add a / SM to that. We have an email address, spiritoftruthministry@gmail.com, and a mailing address, Post Office Box 1013, Kela Mesa, California, 92320. You can get a hold of us in any one of those ways. We encourage you to get your textbook out and have it available. This is the Bible, and we will get started here in about a minute right after we have prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us the courage to step forward out of our comfort zone, to be here today to study things that are different, don't go along with what we have learned all our lives in Christianity. I pray, Father, that you will, in your great mercy, lead us to the truth through the words of Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
Morning, Larry.
Morning.
Pardon?
We
have a 360. Yes, so go ahead.
Good morning, Roger. Good morning.
Yeah, and so we also have, it looks like we have,
Linda.
Linda.
Don and Linda.
Don and Linda, too.
Welcome.
And I think Mike is on with us as well.
Good morning, Mike.
Hopefully my vocal cords will hold out here. My lovely wife, I thank her for
sharing her life with you.
Yes,
exactly.
And sharing the suffering. And so I'm fighting it with all the tools that I know how to. A virus is a difficult thing to overcome. There are certain things that I know work, and so I've been using those. And one is taking oil of oregano straight out of a teaspoon.
It's like vodka.
And,
Mike just texted, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Well, I certainly hope you had an opportunity to listen to yesterday's study, because Dr. Don here says it was, what was it you used on the study yesterday?
Awesome. Wow.
Profound.
Wow.
One of the best. Yesterday I cited a couple of quotes which I thought were profound in their own right. And I have one more quote today for you, which goes along with what we are studying. This one comes from Dr. Martin Luther King. We know what he went through.
By the way, the WordPress website today is 18,299. So we picked 19 people since.
And just so you know, I am working on another article, which I think you will really enjoy. That's my guess. I'm enjoying writing it, finding some interesting things. But this quote from Dr. Martin Luther King goes along with what we are studying today, and he said this: darkness will never drive out darkness. Only light will drive out darkness. And hate will never drive out hate. Only love will drive out hate. As I said yesterday, this world continues in the condition that it has been in for thousands of years. And that is, and what, when I'm talking about this, I'm saying spiritually. And what do I mean by spiritually? Well, if you haven't been able to follow along the last few studies that we've had, just let me say this briefly. We are not spiritual beings. Angels are spiritual beings. God is a spiritual being. We are not. My understanding is that a spiritual being is able to live in form in a magnetic field. And isn't it interesting that scientists who have been studying the universe, trying to explain how the stars and planets and galaxies and how the universe, the whole, holds itself together. And they've been saying gravitation, but gravitation does not explain the whole process. So they theorized this dark matter. And all of the scientific tests that they have conducted to find dark matter or to explain it have failed. They are now starting to move toward a magnetic universe where the planets and suns interact in magnetic fields. And while gravitational properties have a certain effect, the main effect is magnetic. I say that because a spiritual being is able to live in a strong magnetic field, whereas we are not, and we don't require a magnetic field to hold our substance together. We are flesh and blood. And as flesh and blood, we have certain limitations which spiritual beings do not. But we can connect to a spiritual realm in our intellect, our mind. So depending upon what is in our intellect, spiritual realm we have connected to, the spiritual realm of darkness or the spiritual realm of light, there is no other spiritual realm. There's no spiritual realm of gray or magenta or green. There is a spiritual realm of darkness and a spiritual realm of light. When we are born, we enter the physical realm. And as we grow and develop, we are taught by our parents, then by church leaders, then by grade school, junior high, high school, and college professors. The teaching process brings us into the kingdom from which the information comes. So I'll say that one more time. What we are taught determines which kingdom we are connecting to. And all of the evidence that I have been able to find is telling me that every single one of us is taught the information which connects us into the kingdom of darkness. Even church. And you say, well, what about science and physics and history and that? If what you are being taught is the truth, that is a connection to the kingdom of God. If what you are taught is a lie, that is connecting you with the kingdom of the ruler of this world, called also the kingdom of the world. In John, Nicodemus, it's chapter 3, Nicodemus came to the Son of God late at night, so no one would see him. We read that here in John chapter 3, there was one of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a leading Jew, who came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the sign that you do unless God were with him. Jesus answered, I tell you most solemnly, unless a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus is a theologian. He is an expert on God, according to the law and the prophets. And it is Nicodemus' job, along with the other theologians, the scribes, the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they have the responsibility which God them to bring the children of Israel from darkness into light. But what we see is that all these guys know is darkness. And when Jesus makes this statement, which is fundamental, foundational to the kingdom of God, Nicodemus responds to this statement with, "How can a grown man be born? Can he go back into his and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I tell you most solemnly, unless a man is born through water and a spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit." Note that. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. And that is what we're talking about, the physical kingdom and the spiritual kingdom. "You must be born from above. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. That is how it is with all who are born of the Spirit." And maybe, you know, you've scratched your head about that. What does he mean? The wind, not knowing where it comes from, where it's going. A way that I understand this is that when you're born of the Spirit, which is what Jesus is talking about here, is that that happens in your intellect. When your intellect is full of truth, you are then born from above. And you no longer hold any connection to the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the world, and therefore you are born from above because spiritual beings come from above.
You might insert here when it talks about heart in the Bible. That's what it means.
Yes. Thank you, Don. When the Bible uses the term heart, the Greek word there is cardia, which actually means the flesh, the heart of flesh that pumps the blood around through the body. The spiritual heart is the intellect from which the knowledge flows. Nicodemus asked, "How can this be possible? You are a teacher in Israel, and you do not know these things?" replied Jesus. What? Is it any wonder why the Israelites are in darkness? Because their teachers are in darkness. They don't know the truth. That is why the Son of God says this in John chapter 7. And well, first, the way chapter 7 starts out is, after this, Jesus stayed in Galilee. He could not stay in Judea because the Jews were out to kill him. One thing I want you to know about light and darkness, truth and lies, and you may be, if you have watched the news yesterday and last week, you get a really good demonstration of how there are people who are so set thinking that no amount of evidence of truth will ever dissuade them from the path that they have chosen. They are blind to the truth.
Reminds me of Genesis 6, doesn't it? The flood.
Oh, yes.
Condition of the people in the flood, set in their ways and thinking.
When you look at this statement, and Jesus had to go to Galilee because the Jews were out to kill him. Why didn't he just let them? I mean, if that's what he came here for, why didn't he just say, okay, here I am, have at it? Why did he have to wait for the certain time?
Why did he?
If the Jews were just going to kill him then, why didn't they just do it now? Because most people really don't have the fact that Jesus did not come here for the purpose of being killed by the Jews.
Why did he keep saying at various times, it is not my time? He told that to his mom at Cana, at, you know, before he did the miracle with the wine and the water.
Water and the wine, yeah.
Why would he even bother saying that if timing and who it was for the purpose he was going to die or the purpose that he was going to be?
Well, here's the thing. Why did it matter? I mean, if he came here for the Jews to kill him, why didn't he just let them do it if that's what they were going to do?
You can answer here that they could not, they couldn't have killed him.
No, they couldn't. They
inserted that.
They couldn't have killed him. He's a spiritual being. He's flesh and blood, but he's a spiritual being, which is why he could walk on water. And why he could do miracles. I mean, his father was in him. He says, it is my father in me who is doing these things. If his father is in him, he's a spiritual being. If the father is in us, we are a spiritual being. So the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles drew near. His brother said to him, why not leave this place and go to Judea? And let your disciples see the works you are doing. If a man wants to be known, he does not do things in secret. Since you are doing all this, you should let the world, the whole world, see. Not even his others, in fact, believed in him. I want you to remember that. His brothers did not believe in him. And his mother had serious reservations about what he was doing. The reason I say that is because his mother and others were trying to usher him out of a house so that he would not continually embarrass them day after day by the outlandish things he was saying. But they couldn't get into the house because it was so jam-packed. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went up as well. When the festival was half over, and this is verse 14, Jesus went to the temple and began to teach.
Rick, Don, you know, has pointed out on several occasions that, as was his tradition or whatever, Jesus went into the temple, wherefore, to speak or to teach. What was he teaching? You see,
Why was he teaching? I mean, he came here to die, right?
Exactly. And if that's all that was necessary, why go into the temple in the first place, invade the space of the Pharisees, and go in and garner the hate that he was going to garner? Why didn't he just lay down and die? Nobody would have hated him. You know, nobody would have known. All he had to do was go in there and do his job, if his job was simply to die.
And the reason we're saying this is because this is, Paul makes a big deal about this. In fact, when you read Paul, Paul never, ever, ever called attention to what Jesus said. Ever.
In fact, he does the opposite.
Paul said that Jesus came here to die, to remove the curse that God had pronounced on all those who would not abide by everything written in the book of the law, to obey it. So in other words, what Paul is saying is, he died so that we could stay in the darkness and still be saved. Bottom line, that is what Paul says. And if that's what you want to believe, that's fine, but I can tell you, why would God have a kingdom of light if he'll save you in your kingdom of darkness?
Yeah.
The Jews were astonished and said, how do you learn to read? Huh? How did you learn to read? Why would they ask? Dennis, does anybody ask you that if you start telling them something?
No, but remember, 99% of the population in Jesus' day did not know how to, more, 99.9 maybe, were only a very, very select few who had gone to the temple school so that they could either become a Pharisee or a scribe. And actually, in some reading that I've done, the scribe was actually held in higher esteem and higher regard than the Pharisee was.
He handled the holy word.
Because he not only handled the holy word, he would be able, he would copy it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And, you know, this, the idea, this comes into the idea of the Septuagint and other things that we can talk about later. But there is no reason at all for Jesus to have ever learned how to read. And they knew that they had not taught him.
Could you give us the verse about that? How did you learn to read?
That's verse John 7 and 15.
That's a powerful verse. Go ahead.
He has not been taught. So his mother must not have been able to read. I don't know if his brothers were able to read. Who knows?
It certainly wasn't his mother that taught him to read, or his father who taught him scripture.
He goes on to answer, and that's the word. Jesus answered them, my teaching is not from myself. It comes from the one who sent me. And if anyone is prepared to do his will. Oh, man, I love that. If anyone is prepared to do his will. Well, come on. Isn't that what every Christian, isn't that what they will tell you when you ask them, well, are you prepared to do the will of God? Well, certainly. But what does that mean? What the Son of God is saying is, I'm here because I decided to come here. I was sent. My Father sent me, and what I am teaching is not from myself. I'm not one of your philosophers who has come up with a whole new line of reasoning and rational thought, and I'm sharing it with you. What I am telling you comes from God, your God. Well, if what he was saying and teaching has no bearing on our salvation, why would he say that his father sent him to teach. And if one would say, well, he's trying to turn the Jews. Really? He knows the Jews are unturnable. He knew that before he even came.
And they proved it by their machinations to try to kill him.
Exactly. So why is he doing it? I'll tell you why. And how dare anyone say that it's irrelevant to us? That's like saying, okay, God has sent a message here with his son. His son came here to deliver this message so that we can have it. And we decide on our own that it's irrelevant to us. It was only meant for the Jews. Paul's message for the Gentiles. And that's the one I believe is what they say. And the reason they believe that is because they can remain in darkness and have assurance of salvation. But I don't know that I would want to rely on that and see how it works out at the end. Anyone is prepared to do his will. All right. We started this series with the Garden of the Paradise of God, the Garden of Eden. And did God inform the man of his will? Did God tell the man, this is what I want?
He certainly did.
And what
was
that?
Clear. Don't go near the tree in the center of the garden or eat from it.
What is that based upon?
Law.
And obeying the law.
And obeying the
obedience.
Law.
Yet, we are told by born-again Christians, Christ died to free us from the works of the law. You cannot have a kingdom of light without law. Where there is no law, there is darkness. If anyone is prepared to do his will, the Father's will, he will know whether my teaching is from God or whether my doctrine is my own. When a man's doctrine is his own, he is hoping to get honor for himself. But when he is working for the honor of the one who sent him, then he is sincere. I hope you got that one. And by no means an imposter. I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me that because of what I'm saying, and basically all I say is what Jesus said, I just point out what Jesus said, and what I say about Paul is I have many times been accused of working on behalf of the devil. And I say, you know, if that's true, the devil has really made a poor choice, because I am certainly not delivering the success for him that he would expect if I were working for him. He could certainly find someone else who would have a whole lot more success at deceiving people than I have had. Jesus goes on to say another make a profound statement. Did not Moses give you the law? Now, I could say, did not the Son of God give you the truth? And yet not one of you keeps it.
These are Pharisees. Of course they keep the law.
Why do you want to kill me? Now, wouldn't he have the perfect opportunity here to say, you will kill me because that's why I came, to free people from this law of Moses so that they will no longer be required to keep it? I mean, here's the perfect opportunity. When I raise this question with people, they go, well, he couldn't see past the grave. Well, if he couldn't see past the grave, then he's making statements to his disciples that I'll be killed and I'll be in the ground for 3 days and I'll be resurrected and, you know, where I'm going to find. He has foretold what will happen after his resurrection. How can he do that honestly if he can't see past the grave?
If he can't see past the grave, then he is not God.
Exactly. He says, I lay down my life and I take it up again. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again, and no one can take that away from me. Isn't that seeing past the grave? You know, when people want to believe a lie, they'll make up other lies to soothe their conscience when statements like this really challenge the lies that they believe. The crowd replied, you're mad. Who wants to kill you? Jesus answered, one work I did, and you are all surprised by it. Moses ordered you to practice circumcision. Not that it began with him. That's an interesting point. It was Abraham. So remember that circumcision was a sign of the covenant. Now, if a man can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses is not broken, why are you angry with me for making a man whole and complete on the Sabbath? Then turn over to verse 12. Of John 7. When Jesus spoke to people again, he said, I am the light of the world.
This is John what?
John 7. Well,
switch to John 8. John 8:12.
Oh, okay. 8:12. Sorry. On my Bible, the 8 is hidden. John 8:12, sorry. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not be walking in the dark. He will have the light of life.
And if you say that you follow Jesus and you are walking in the dark, you are calling Jesus a liar, because if you were truly following him, well, just ask this question. Would Jesus ever lead you into the dark? If you're following him, if you're behind him, if you're looking at him, if you're following him and you are in the dark, it's not him you are following.
Well, here's the bottom line with this. Like I said, we all start out in darkness. Spiritual, all. There is not one person that I can think of that has ever started out in the light in this world. All started out in darkness. The evil one maintains the darkness. He is the ruler of all who are in the darkness. Now, some people may wonder why God doesn't act on their behalf. They pray and pray and pray. Well, Paul has a, you know, he says, well, you know, sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to. What you need to understand is that when God made the promises, now I'm not saying that God does not hear your prayer when you pray in the darkness. I'm not saying that. But God does not want us to stay in the darkness. He's made that very clear. And he's shown us the way out of the darkness by the testimony of his only begotten Son. And his only begotten Son confirmed the law and the prophets are still valid, and that not the least stroke of the pen or the smallest letter would pass from the law until all is accomplished. And the fact that we are not with God right now informs me that all has not been accomplished yet. The people need to wake up to the fact that they are living in the kingdom of darkness, and the ruler of darkness is their ruler, and he fully intends on keeping them there. The sad part is that most honest people who have no problem being honest with others in their dealings have a huge problem when it comes to being honest with themselves. And, you know, that's the one you should really be honest with, is yourself. Because if you continually deceive yourself, you are working on behalf of the deceiver, doing his work to keep yourself in his kingdom.
Going back to Matthew 24:4, in my mind, when you're talking about deception, because Jesus said to his disciples, see to it that no one deceives you. See to it that no one mislead you. And we always think that that has to be someone else deceiving us, something that is deceptive outside of ourselves. But what you're saying and what you're proving through Scripture is that the greatest deceptions come from within. They come from our own paradigms, our own belief systems that have been cultivated carefully to show us and help us to believe that a lie is in fact the truth.
And you are doing the work of the devil in your own life. His work is done for you if you're continually working on deceiving yourself. All he has to do is make sure you keep doing that. I mean, like I said, you watch what's been playing out in the government. There's a whole lot of people deceiving themselves. It is true, Jesus says, that I am testifying on my own behalf. But my testimony continues to be valid. Because I know where I come from and where I am going. You judge by human standards. What is human standards? Physical realm standards. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. But if I judge, my judgment will be sound, because I am not alone. The one who sent me is with me. And in your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I may be testifying on my own behalf, but the Father who sent me is my witness too. And remember, he said that what I'm saying I got from my Father. This is not on my own that I'm doing this. Then Jesus goes into what we're talking about. In verse 21 of 8, again he says, I'm going away and you will look for me, die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. Why cannot, why are they not able to go where he's going? Because they are in the kingdom of darkness. If they were in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of truth, the kingdom of God, they would already be with him spiritually. The Jews said to one another, will he kill himself? Is that what he means by saying where I'm going cannot come? Now, why would they say that? What happens when you die? As they believe it.
You go to heaven.
Yeah, spirit goes to heaven. So yeah, is he going to kill himself so he can go to heaven?
And by the way, it's easy to see where Paul gets that and confirms that belief.
You are from below. So what does he mean by that? And that, he's not talking about hell, I'm sure there's a connection there.
You're not a spiritual being.
You're from the earth.
You're from the earth. You're not
you're
a spiritual
from
being.
The earth. You're not from the heavens. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I've told you already, you will die in your sins. Yes, if you do not believe that I am he, and you will die in your sins. What does he mean if you do not believe that I am he? He who?
He who came to earth to teach the truth.
They said to him, who are you? Jesus answered, what I've told you from the outset. About you, I have much to say and much to condemn. But the one who sent me is truthful, and what I have learnt from him, I declare to the world. The Son of God is the witness, along with his Father, to witness on behalf of those who have learned his testimony, have learned the truth, have filled their intellect with it. And therefore, the two witnesses, actually there's three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, will testify to the fact that the light of truth is in the person who has taken the time to learn the truth. They will also testify to the fact that a person had the opportunity, every opportunity, to learn the truth, and they rejected it.
And the learning of truth is not an instant transition where all you say is, I believe in Jesus, and you are instantly transitioned from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It takes a lot of work to make that transition.
Exactly.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I'm a very visual person, and I've talked to some of these people I talked to, and I said, imagine Paul is out there on this donkey, fell off the donkey or whatever, and suddenly there was this huge cord that fell out of heaven. He plugged it into his head, and God downloaded the whole thing in seconds. Is that how it works?
No.
No.
Your brain would explode if you...
He's using Wi-Fi, Don.
The disciples were with Jesus 24-7. With him. And boy, down at the end of that whole time, they still weren't getting there. Were they?
They were still in the wilderness, spiritually.
Yeah. So that this download doesn't happen instantaneously. Come up here and read the sinner's prayer. You know, you've seen that. You
yeah.
Read that. You're in. You're in.
Matthew chapter 6, 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. It follows that if your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is diseased, your whole body will be all darkness. If then the light inside you is darkness, what darkness that will be. Now, do you think he's talking about your two eyes? Because it's interesting. Does he say the lamp of the body are the eyes? Did he say that?
No.
He says the lamp of the body is the eye. The eye of what? The eye that allows the spiritual teaching, the words, the words either read or the words heard, that you see the spiritual meaning of the teaching. The disciples had a real hard time with this. Because he would say things and they thought that he was talking in tangible terms. And he was actually talking in spiritual terms. And why would he do that? I mean, if he understood that they couldn't understand it when he was using words as symbols, why did he continue to do that? Why didn't he just say, oh, okay, well, I'll just, you know, tell you right out. He did that a couple of times, but why would he say these things? You know, I have bread to eat that you don't know about. And where I'm going cannot come. You know the way where I'm going. I mean, all this, and they're like, what? Wait a minute. You're telling us these things and we don't have a clue. We can't just learn the words and formulate our own understanding of it. The only way that you will gain the spiritual knowledge of the spiritual truth is that God allows it.
Okay, I mean, back to the why. Can you answer that? Why would he do it this way? Did we finish that?
Because the only way you can enter the spiritual kingdom is through spiritual understanding. Remember yesterday I talked about the the formula. Knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. If the knowledge you have there are lies, then what is your wisdom going to be? False. And understanding comes from God. So, truth is the testimony of Jesus and the law and the prophets. And if we are going to enter the spiritual kingdom of God, learn the spiritual meaning of the teaching of the Son of God. Now, I'm not trying to make some esoteric statement. We are not in the kingdom of God. We are in the kingdom of the world. The spiritual kingdom of the world we connect to in our intellect by the lies that we've been taught. That's what keeps us in the darkness in the spiritual kingdom of the world. In order to leave the spiritual kingdom of the world, we have to enter into the sanctification process. And this is not something new that I haven't said before. The sanctification process is the replacing of the lies with the truth. Our intellect is cleansed of lies by the truth. When the truth is 100% in our intellect, we have entered the spiritual kingdom of God. That's it. It's not some big complicated way. That's it. And Jesus says, if you live in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Set us free from what? The kingdom of darkness. If you want to get out of the kingdom of darkness, just do what the Son of God said. Learn the truth, and his testimony is the truth.
Thank you very much, Rick. That was a terrific study. We encourage our listeners to go to our Blog Talk Radio site this afternoon, and you can download this very study, or you can download any of the others that we have. We also encourage you to join us a week from today for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus, and next Friday for another edition of The Bible on Trial. Please go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net, take a look around, especially take a look at our book, The Spirit of the Church and The Grand Plan by Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld saying so long for now. We'll see you all next time.